Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the daily Riley County Coronavirus Response Update for Thursday, April 30th. My name is Vivian. I'm the Public Information Officer for the City of Manhattan. And with us today, we have a new face. He's been on the call before, but we have David Adams, who is the Director of the Riley County Emergency Medical Services. We have Kurt Muldrup, Assistant Director for the Riley County Police Department. Joining us today, Bob Koppel. He's the President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. And then providing ASL translation, we have Susie Stanfield from iSign. So thank you all for taking the time to provide some updates and information for the public. We'll start with you, David. You have a statement about the current situation.
Thank you, Vivian. Good afternoon, everyone. There have been two new positive cases in Riley County today. The total number of positive coronavirus cases is now 49, with 24 people recovered and 25 active cases. Ascension Via Christi Hospital in Manhattan currently has no COVID-19 positive patients. There are two persons under investigation in the hospital. Those are people who have symptoms but are awaiting test results. Statewide, there are now 4,238 coronavirus cases in Kansas, with 523 hospitalized and 129 deaths statewide. Governor Kelly will be sharing the details of her plan for the state in a press conference at 6:30 today. If you've heard anything about plans and orders from the county or the state, please take that information with a grain of salt and understand that plans will not be final until the governor makes her announcement and we receive feedback from the from the recovery task force, as well as the clinical task force, and after we speak with officials from Pottawatomie and Geary counties. It is vital that we take a regional approach to reopening so we do what is best for the community as a whole. If we see a dramatic increase in numbers and it becomes necessary to take a step back and reinstate the local stay-at-home order, we will do so when it's appropriate. We can all expect that some aspects of social distancing will be with us for a long time. People should continue to avoid contact with those outside of their household. Anyone who is in the high risk category should continue to stay home even as restrictions are relaxed. Travel to other counties or states is strongly discouraged. As always, if you are experiencing symptoms, please call our screening line at 785-323-6400. This is available every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Again, that number is 785-323-6400. We are still encouraging anyone with questions to email us at RileyCountyCovid19@gmail.com. During business hours, we are usually able to get back to you quickly. Again, that email is RileyCountyCovid19@gmail.com. Thank you, Vivian.
Dave, you mentioned as an important part of this plan moving forward is the idea of regionalism and working in collaboration and cooperation with other counties. Can you talk about what that looks like? What does that involve?
Absolutely. We are, as we put our plans together, we are reaching out to others who are community leaders, who are leaders within the health side of the community, to make sure that the plans we are putting together really work for everyone. So we want people to understand this is not just the EOC working on this, but we are looking at best business practices, best personal hygiene practices, and just the broader picture. And this isn't just about Manhattan. you know, we are working with Pottawatomie County because, as everybody knows, part of Manhattan is in Pott County. We're working with Geary County because there's a lot of transfer, a lot of movement back and forth between our counties. So we want everybody to be on the same page, and we want everybody to be to understand what others are doing and what we can do to work together.
Okay. And has that collaboration been going well so far?
It's been fantastic. A lot of information is shared back and forth. You know, we are learning where they're coming from, what they're seeing in their communities. They're hearing what we see in our communities, what we hear from our citizens, whether it is in Manhattan, whether it is North Riley County, South Riley County, whether it is in south part of Pottawatomie County, the north part of Pottawatomie County, or the east side. So a very, very good collaboration. And quite frankly, we're really proud of that. I think people are working together to find what works for everyone.
Thank you so much. It looks like Bob Koppel may have had to step away for just a moment. So when he comes back on, we have a few questions for him as well. In terms of switching gears a little bit, I know both you and Kurt represent emergency responders here in the community. Can you talk about kind of the emergency response process in the wake of COVID-19? What does that look like? Has anything changed?
You know, for EMS, as we've talked about in the past, you know, people may see us in PPE more than they're used to seeing us. That doesn't mean that you know, we're dealing with more COVID patients, but we're taking precautionary measures. So we're protecting ourselves and we're protecting the public. As Julie has said many times over, we need to we need to treat everyone as they could be a possible, you know, have the carrier or be a carrier. So, you know, everybody's taking precautions. We're doing what we need to do. One of the things that from EMS, and I think Bob can probably talk on this from the hospital as well, is, you know, in March, our call volume was normal, what we would expect. In April, our call volume is down about 50%, but the patients we are seeing are sicker. So we want people to feel safe, you know, feel safe calling 911, feel safe going to the hospital. You know, you're not going to get that illness from us, because all of these entities are taking extreme measures and being very cautious so that we're protecting ourselves, but more importantly, we're protecting the public.
And Bob, would you like to weigh in either on that or to let us know how are things going at the hospital?
So, well, actually, things are going fine at the hospital. Our volumes are down, like we've been talking, you know, by not doing elective procedures, not doing some of the other things like that. We just aren't as busy. Kind of mirroring EMS experience, our emergency department volumes have been running about half of what they would typically run. A small piece of that actually is because the students aren't here, but they're really not a big part of our emergency department business. And to go back to something David said, you know, we have seen some patients come in over the last few weeks that we really do attribute the level of the distress that they're in from a healthcare standpoint is because they have not sought healthcare earlier in their course of illness. And I think some patients have verbalized that they might have been scared to come to seek healthcare. And just really want to reassure people, like David did, you know, call your physician one if you just don't feel well. That's what you need to be doing regardless. But, you know, we take great pains in the facility. You know, you are, kind of as David said again, you're going to see things a little different now. We went to universal masking in our facility several weeks ago. So everybody you encounter is most likely going to have a mask on. But we want to take care of people, and you always have better outcomes, quite honestly, the earlier you get to health issues. We know locally we've had some folks who have delayed seeking health care, and in retrospect now understand that they actually have already had a heart attack or already had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And those are significant health events, potentially life-altering. And we just really want to have the opportunity to help people early on. Don't feel worried. I mean, again, we've taken extra efforts around cleaning the facility. We have different – our air handling systems are very different than any other business in town, and it's because of what we do. And so we've got extra filtration. We actually have a lot of areas that are negative air, which means everything's being exhausted. Definitely use a lot of PPE, personal protective equipment. And it's just, taking all those steps just to make sure people are safe.
In talking about the use of PPE, kind of specifically for the public, do you have any advice about how to do that properly?
Well, if you don't mind, we're gonna get into the weeds a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and I happen to have everything in my office, so it's important. Let's talk about gloves first. So, use hand gel. Even before you put gloves on, you should wash or clean your hands. So, soap and water actually is very, very effective with COVID-19. You don't have to. You can certainly use hand gel and other products that are effective too. But you can actually just use soap and water. So if you're going to put on gloves, you'd always want to wash your hands first and then not touch anything between then and when you put your gloves on, because you want your hands to be clean actually going inside the glove, right? So we would do that. I'm just using hand gel, but soap and water is actually very effective too. You've got to give hand gel time to dry. And so depending on the product, just my rubbing it, I'm kind of good to go. Just took a few seconds. If you're using soap and water, you actually need to wash your hands about 20 seconds, and 20 seconds is longer than what you might think. Mm-hmm. So what we teach our people here is that you need to sing the happy birthday song. So happy birthday to Bob, happy birthday to Bob, you know, that sort of thing. Shout out to my wife, she had her birthday yesterday, so we could sing happy birthday to Kim. If you sing quickly, you'll need to sing it twice. So you need to kind of try it. You need to time yourself the first time to see how quickly you sing and if you need to sing it once or twice. But that'll get you your 20 seconds. And then you're going to take your gloves. And really what you're doing with a pair of gloves is you're putting on an extra layer of skin. That's all you're doing. So your hands are clean. We just gelled them. You're going to pull on gloves. I need the XLs. You can't give me the mediums or the large. These all come in sizes just like our clothes. But you put on the glove, and now you've got the glove on. And what you have to remember, the glove is no different than the rules of if you don't have a glove on. And really, quite honestly, a lot of our people would say, why are you putting on gloves depending on what it is you're doing? But so you can't touch your face if you have gloves on. Because anything that's then on the glove is now on your face. So, for example, I had to run into Dylan's early this week, and I went really early in the morning because I need to get a birthday card for my wife. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. I noticed a lot of people wearing gloves. So they're getting out of their cars, wearing gloves, using their phones, touching the car door, touching everything else. And so what they've basically done is everything that used to be on their hands is now on the glove. And so then they take the glove and they go in the store. And if you're looking at different items or touching them, anything that you have on your glove is now on that item because you've just transferred it. And that's actually one of the biggest ways that COVID is transferred, is just from surface to surface. You can also, there's some airborne things we can talk about in a bit, but it's, a lot of it's just surface to surface. And so anything you have on the glove, it's no different than if you're wearing it and just had your skin on. I think sometimes us, and on the healthcare side, really find interesting why people are wearing gloves when they'd had the same result of just using hand gel. So just something to think about. If you do touch something with this, so for example, here in the hospital, we've got folks who are delivering supplies, right? So they're coming out of the first floor. Most of the time they are potentially having a pair of gloves on. They're going to go, they're going to get on the elevator. Well, how do you get on the elevator? You have to hit the button. So anything that's on the elevator button is now on your hand. So in our case, we're actually wiping down the elevator button several times a day. But they're touching the cart. How often is the cart touched on? When they get up to the supply room, they actually need to take off that set of gloves and switch to new ones because that glove has now got stuff on it. So, I mean, it's just things like that. Just really think about, it's no different at the grocery store. Think about what you're doing and what you're touching. When you do take off the gloves, it's hand gel time again. Mm-hmm. Every time you take on and off gloves, you've got to sterilize. So either wash with soap and water again or use some sort of hand gel, hand antiseptic, something like that. Does that all make sense? Mm-hmm. Don't make it too much in the weeds here. And David, you got to correct me if I'm doing anything wrong.
Yeah, you're spot on, Bob.
So we see a lot of people talking about masks. And the key thing with a mask is you never actually want to touch the mask if you can help it. So this happens to be, it's a what's called an ear loop mask. So it's got these little loops that go around your ears. That's how you hold it on. You know, I think everybody's also probably familiar with more of the kind of the older fashioned, if you will, but it's tie on masks. Everything works the same. You want to do the same thing, but it's just why it's really important to remember why you're even putting the mask on your face. And really it's depending on the type of mask and where you're going, it has two purposes. So I'm going to put this on. And I'll take it off because it's probably a little harder to hear me. You want the mask to be actually up on the bridge of your nose. And ideally, you're able to tuck it under your chin, and that'll help hold it onto your face. The mask has kind of two purposes. One is you want to catch stuff that's coming at you and keep it off of your face, off of your skin. So that's the one purpose. And so certain masks, types of masks, are designed to either filter or catch more. It has to do with the shape of the mask, and there's some of them actually even have a filter built into them to protect you for what you might inhale. The biggest thing about actually wearing masks right now is we're trying to keep people from pushing stuff out. And so it acts either, you know, apologize for the term, but it's either a spit guard for what's coming at you, or it's a way to keep you from pushing stuff out or pushing stuff out towards people. And so depending on the type of mask, again, like the surgical mask, a lot of this is just about creating a barrier. It provides a little bit of both ways, but a lot of this is about keeping you from pushing stuff out towards other people. You know, the CDC is actually recommending, and I would not surprise me that if we see some recommendations in our own state about going to masking anytime you're in a public space. Mm-hmm. Just a good step to take to try to limit how much stuff is getting spread and pushed out in the air. Masks are specifically good if you either sneeze or cough, because it's a way to stop the how far out you're pushing germs, whatever you want to call it. There's some evidence to say that a person sneezing or coughing with COVID can actually, the cells will actually transmit out 10 meters or over 30 feet. So that's a lot more than the 6 feet we talk about social distancing, which is why having some kind of barrier actually is important for that purpose. With cloth masks, you know, again, that's something most of us can do at home. You can use a bandana, you can use part of a dental t-shirt, whatever. They don't have the filtration capacity of something that's been commercially made, but it certainly acts as a barrier to just protect part of your face from getting stuff onto it, and that's key. But also it acts as a barrier if you are coughing or sneezing for things going out. It's important with the cloth masks that you wash them with soap and water in your washing machine or something like that, with hot water, like daily. You can't reuse a cloth mask just through the week. That's really not going to be successful for you. And you also want to take pains to never touch the front of it after you've worn it once, because you don't know what you've kind of collected. And anytime you touch it, it's now back on your hands, and everything you touch, you're going to touch. So you'll see like folks here at the hospital, because we all, you know, some of us at least have work time in the office. When we take these off, they will actually lay it like this onto a Kleenex. Mm-hmm. Kleenex can then be thrown away. Whatever is on the mask goes on the Kleenex, and it's not on your desk or your workspace or the counter in the nursing unit, that sort of thing. And it's just important for all of us. We have to kind of rethink, don't touch things you don't have to. When you're wearing PPE, don't touch anything after you've worn it. Other than to take it off and discard it or to put it in the wash, things like that, and just really be mindful of what it is we're touching. For me personally, it's really hard not to, at some point during every hour, to not touch my face or my head. And sometimes, if you're like me, I'm spending a lot of time on phone calls now, and I have a tendency to lean or to think, or, you know, and we just really got to be cognizant to try not to do that, to limit that. And that's, again, where sanitizer or some sort of hand spray comes in play. We're really encouraging people to be using this frequently, even if you're working in your own workspace. It's just real important. Hand hygiene is probably the single most impactful thing any of us can do in this situation. We've, you know, the change in April of people doing home isolation and using more products like this on our hands and everything, the flu season just came pretty much to an abrupt end. Shut it down. Because all of these practices are actually good for other viruses too. And so that's part of the success to this, I think, and also just maybe some good learnings for us going forward, is the importance of having some barriers. Again, not going to surprise any of us, and we already see this in a lot of retail spaces with having plastic shields between customer-facing staff and the customers. And it's all about how do you create a way to stop error movement, transmission, if you will, of anything somebody might be exhaling. The other thing with these masks, both cloth and the paper, as we all breathe, we're actually exhaling moisture. And so they will get wet. And that's not good either, because then they'll start to grow stuff too. You're now creating a warm, moist environment. So that's why it's real important to do the laundry with the cloth ones, make sure things are drying out, if you will. You know, there's a lot of conversation around N95 masks, certainly a good piece of personal protective equipment, but it's really actually only effective if you've been professionally fitted for the specific N95 mask that you're trying to use, because there's a bunch of different kinds and sizes and whatever. If you haven't been gone through fit testing, it's probably no different than wearing one of these. And these are a whole lot less expensive to acquire. We just really encourage people to just be thinking about that as they're trying to acquire PPE or whatever. For businesses, you know, depending upon the workspace, it may be something you have to invest in is doing the fit testing. In a time of PPE shortage, the fit testing is kind of it's a hard pill to swallow, because we destroy 2 to 3 N95 masks every time we fit test someone. The other thing is, if people have beards and mustaches, all of these don't have as much value. The N95s actually are almost next to worthless if somebody has a beard. So you'll notice everybody in the photo here, we've all shaved. And it's because we can put these masks on and they're effective. And so people got to think about that too. Even the surgical masks aren't as effective because you can't get any kind of seal around your face. So that's probably more than what you wanted to know about wearing gloves and a mask, but just a few thoughts. And hopefully I got everything right. My infection prevention nurse is not going to be on me tomorrow.
Thank you so much for taking the time. That was really good advice. It's helpful to hear all of those steps and all the reasoning. I know we've kind of shared some video back and forth. It helps me to visualize, you know, virus maybe present on my hands or gloves as paint. And if you visualize it having kind of a color and a texture, and knowing that if you put your hands in paint and touch your face, you're then going to have paint on your face. So that's been one thing that kind of helps me. And I've touched my face a few times just during this video. So it is difficult to retrain yourself, but
It's actually, I think, is incredibly hard. And there was a study, I can't remember, like, the average number of times a person touches their face or their head in an hour. And it was more than 10 times. And it's going to require just a lot of discipline from all of us to kind of learn not to do that. If you wear glasses, it's another challenge, because you have to clean your glasses daily with a wipe or some sort of sanitizer. For those, especially right now, no one's gotten a haircut in what, 7-8 weeks? And so I think that a lot of people have longer hair than they're used to, and they're pushing it back. You know, like a lot of our patient care staff, everybody's got it tied back now to make sure that nothing's going to come down that they have to be touching or pushing back or pulling. It's just things like that we're just going to have to kind of get used to, I think. And this will not go away. This will be some of the things, I think, you know, as David indicated, there's going to be some of these practices that we will just have to implement. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the next 2 weeks or the next month. You know, this will be for a long time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Sure. I'm going to switch gears a little bit as we're thinking about time frames and maybe kind of where things have gone. I know, Stephen, at KMAN, you had a question.
Yes, I did, Vivian. I'm Stephen Schaefer with News Radio KMAN. My question, do we have any new information about the peak in cases in our community? Like, have we passed it? Are we still expecting it at this time? Like, are there some numbers that we can look at yet?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. I know that Dr. Norman had said that Kansas as a whole has hit its peak. We do not believe that Riley County has hit its peak yet. We believe it's going to be within the next 7 days. That is what our data is showing us, and kind of goes along with what we've seen as it travels from east to west and such. So we believe that it'll be in the next week, we will hit it. It's one of those things. We really won't know when we hit it till after our numbers have started to go down and say, oh, yep, that was our peak. That's where it was. So we think in the next week.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, David. Also, you know, in thinking and talking about the future, we've got a couple task forces in town. The Recovery Task Force met once, and I know, Bob, you were one of the co-chairs. Can you talk about how that meeting went?
Sure. So we actually had our first meeting yesterday afternoon. And it's, you know, it's kind of like everything else. You got to spend a little bit of time just getting yourselves organized, if you will. We have a lot of people on their group that don't know each other. And so we spent time in our 2-hour meeting just doing some introductions and talking about kind of where people are coming from as far as concerns, priorities, that sort of thing, which is, I think, again, has been good. We've got representation from Gary, from Pottawatomie and Riley County. I think that's especially important because ideally where we come out of this is with some consistent direction from each of our counties, from their health officers, and from the elected officials, because it is really confusing if you're an individual, if you have to know all three sets of rules. And if you don't really understand the geography of our community in Manhattan specifically, you don't even know which set of rules you're supposed to be following because you could be on the other side of the street. And so, I mean, I think that's one thing is just, I think it's just really important when we, you know, I think there's also some questions about, well, so what's this group to do? So we were appointed, and then Jason Smith, who's the CEO of the chamber here in the greater Manhattan area chamber, he's the other co-chair with me. And really our kind of overall purpose goal, and they probably have a nicer way of saying it, but it's really about how do we be successful in implementing the transition that we're going to be starting on, we believe, next week. Because we do believe the governor's going to make some changes, and then our health departments are going to have some more specifics typically of, so how will this work? And really our goal is, so how can we make this transition successful for the businesses in our communities and also for the individuals that live in our communities and those who come in to visit us? The key things that I guess we see coming out of this, the task force, because it's 20 some people, we're trying to represent a whole lot of folks. And so they tried to kind of pick members by industry. And so we're trying to, you know, those people are kind of representing all the constituents of what they do. So that might be long-term care, that might be restaurants, that might be retail, that whatever. So that we have that representation. And then they can then work within their circle of influence to say, this is what makes sense. It's really important for people to understand our task force is not a decision-making task force. That is outside of our scope. The decisions actually will get made by the county health officers in cooperation with the county commissioners in each of the three counties. And so the second thing that's really important is we are using this task force as a way to kind of communicate and kind of just shape and consolidate or coordinate, if you will, the message back to the elected officials and the health department folks to say, these are key things that we think, need to be addressed. These are practical ways to perhaps do that. And if as we're writing the order and given perhaps more specifics to business owners, we've got to write it in a way that's translatable, that doesn't end up with, you know, 32 questions back to the EOC. People understand, okay, I need to have, for example, I got to have hand sanitizer at every checkout. Or whatever the detail may be, but just to make it very tangible and useful for people. And then I think, you know, the biggest part of what we're doing is the task force is just facilitating how do you reopen businesses in a community in a very safe manner, in a manner that allows them to do whatever service or provide whatever product that they do, but how do we do that safely? And some of the complexity is really different when we're talking about how will we have a religious service safely versus how will we have food available at a restaurant or shop at a retail service for flowers. And I think that's just some of the complexity that in a very quick fashion, the task force is being asked to say, we've got to give input. We've got to kind of put some, some meat on the bone, if you will. And how do we make this doable for people? And then also, what can we facilitate to make it easier for people? We have a lot of folks with knowledge. How do we get that shared amongst their constituent group and get that done?
Thank you so much. And I know we've talked about education and sharing knowledge. That was a big topic for the EOC today. Kurt, do you want to talk a little bit about how that went or what some of the ideas are behind, you know, helping people and businesses comply with some of these orders moving forward?
Sure. Having talked about the task force, we're really excited about having this task force. As Bob said, having the business community, the subject matter experts in their areas are going to be very beneficial. First, in providing us at the EOC guidance and suggestions on how to best accommodate each business as they reopen and what's going to work best for them in their industry. They'll also be the ones that will be the best communicators out to that their individual industries. So we're going to rely heavily on them to help communicate and gain compliance. I think they'll be better at communicating why it's important to put in the various restrictions that will be out there as we reopen the various industries that are closed or expand on opening the various industries that are closed. So I think it's going to be a very successful plan.
Thank you so much. And I know people are anxious for the details of all of these plans and what that's going to look like and kind of what the future of the community is going to look like. We are expecting an announcement from the governor's office today at 6:30. Governor Kelly will be holding a news release for the state and sharing the details of her plan. We've been anxiously awaiting that, as I know you have as well. And the Manhattan Area Task Force, the Recovery Task Force, actually has their next meeting scheduled for tomorrow. That's Friday, May 1st at 11 o'clock. Anyone who's interested in kind of tuning in and in listening to what those discussions are going to entail, you can tune in on the City of Manhattan Facebook page. Again, that's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It will also be broadcast on the City of Manhattan website. That is cityofmhk.com. Again, cityofmhk.com. And it's also going to be available on Cox Cable Channel 3, both live for all of those places and then in recorded form on that city Facebook page as well as the city's website. So you can't necessarily join in that conversation, but you can listen to what the experts are discussing and thinking about as that moves forward. Kind of being mindful of time, we had one question come in. I'm going to answer really quickly. And then David, I'm going to ask you for kind of final thoughts for today. Someone asked, what happens when they call that screening hotline? That's at 323-6400 number that goes directly to a healthcare professional at the Riley County Health Department. Again, that number is 323-6400. We're asking people who have any of the symptoms of COVID-19 to call that hotline first. You're going to get guidance from a nurse on duty. That's from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the week. And the nurse will either direct you to contact your primary care physician, contact somebody from Kansas Prairie Community Health Center, or someone else who can refer you to that to the swabbing station or to get tested if you meet that criteria. So if you have questions of a medical nature about COVID-19 symptoms, want to know advice about what you should do, please call that hotline. And also, so I think that's all we really have time for. Dave, would you like to provide any kind of final thoughts for the day?
Yeah, absolutely. We at the EOC want everybody to know that we're not doing this in a silo. We are bringing in the, as Bob said, the subject matter experts from the industry, from the community. We are also bringing in the experts from the healthcare community, because those are both very, very important. So as the EOC makes a recommendation to the local health officer, we just want people to know that we're trying to do this as all-encompassing as we can, that we are working with everybody that we can work with to do what is right for all of Riley County and for our region.
Thank you so much. I know you've all been working really hard, not just on this aspect of the response, but for many weeks now. So thank you for your time today, sharing information with the public. Thank you for all your hard work. And we'll be back again tomorrow with another update at 4:15. So hope you can join us. Take care.